All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. I tell you, I feel that we have been blessed today with that Spirit coming down. And I've enjoyed what has gone before and pray that you pray for me that the Lord continue to bless us with His Spirit. And if it be His will, I'd like to talk about His Spirit. In Acts, just as an introduction, 17 and 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us.
Amen.
What a blessing it is. Now, that He is not far from every one of us. Now, I want to go in the book of Job, in the 32nd chapter. I want to talk about a character for a little bit. And I'm going to try to give you the cliff notes of 31 chapters real quick and then hit 32. Basically, you know the story of Job. He loses everything. A horrible tragedy in the Bible. He loses all of his children, his house, his livestock, and then he is afflicted with boils and just horrible. And he's mourning. His wife tells him to curse God and die. He says, tells her, "You speak as the foolish women." And then his friends come. His friends, I'll use quotation marks there. My wife hates it when people use quotation marks improperly. But I think it's proper here. His friends. He referred to them as miserable comforters. And they just go 31 chapters, or, you know, a bunch of chapters. It's going from them telling him something to him. Replying and back and forth and back and forth, and nothing good comes from it. And you know, you read in these what they say, and you say, "Well, that's good stuff," is what they're saying there. That's if I could, I'd go to them right now, but I'm not. But go in there, and there's good things they said, but they didn't say them at a good time. I tell you, timing is essential. A word fitly spoken is better than golden apples in a silver pitcher, something like that. I didn't play Brother Tom and Brother Luke's Proverbs game in the car. Don't remind me not to ever go on a road trip today. But the word fitly spoken, I'm just doing this. I'm still a rookie in this preaching, pastoring. And I just had a huge thing happen in my pastorship where we lost a dear deacon, where I pastored. And I was called to his bedside. And there I got to be with the family. And I, Lord, help me to say the right thing at the right time. Because there's so much to say that he won't pray that he be healed. And well, God's will be done. That's what I gotta pray.
Yeah.
I gotta tell them in a way with the Spirit that he may not be healed here, but he will be healed in the end.
He will be delivered.
I tell you, that's whenever it gets real to you. When you get an instant like that. When you're standing at the bedside of a dear one with the family. But here Job has these miserable comforters. And they go back and forth. And at the end of 31 I'll say, Job said, "If I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockle instead of barley." Then it says, the words of Job are ended. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Now I'm going to read them. I might end up reading a good bit here. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu. Who is Elihu? That's where I... Man, a couple years ago, I came across this when I first started out. And you know, you can, there's all kinds of, some say, well, this is Christ, this is Elihu is Elihu. That's all I'm going to say right now. But I was riding along to a church meeting in Izora, Texas with Elder Bill Walton. And I said, Brother Bill, I was wanting him to shed some light on that. He said, who is this Elihu? He said, yeah, who is he? That's all he said. So I'm still where I was. Elihu is Elihu. And his wrath was kindled against Job. His wrath was kindled because he justified himself rather than God. And also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. That's what it was. They came and said, man, this is what the world will tell you when something bad happens. What did you do? Well, bad things happen in this world. Why do good things happen? Or why do bad things happen to good people? That's a question always. We are all sinners, and we are in this sin-cursed world, and bad things happen. And a lot of bad things happen to Job. But they come up and says, what did you do? And Job, he did what I would do. He defended himself. What do you mean, what did I do? This is who I am. And he justified himself. So they go on. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. Elihu was younger than all these men, it sounds like. They were elder than. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel and the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are old, wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. It didn't come from there. These were older men, but it didn't come from there. In verse 8, this is the verse that's just been eating at me this week since I read it. But there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding.
Yeah.
Great men are not always wise. Go to Washington, D.C. Neither do the aged understand judgment. All we can... I tell you, whenever I'm in the Lord's house, I do look to the gray heads or the bald heads for wisdom. But I tell you, in the world, that's not always the case. And these men, though they had the age, there was something missing. But basically what Elihu is saying here, says, but there is a spirit in man. And God and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth that. Understand. Whenever every child of God, every elect, precious, loved one of His choosing before the world began will be born again sometime in this life. You can find instances where John the Baptist, we have proof that he was born again in his mother's womb. Or the thief on the cross right before he died. It's anywhere in that time frame. But when it happens, I tell you, it is special. I love to look in, where is Ezekiel? Verse 16, yes, he says, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, yea, I said unto thee, live. and thou becamest mine. Yes, he makes a covenant. The Godhead in covenant before the world began made a covenant together that they would choose out a people and love them for their own. Oh, but there comes a time in every child of God when that covenant is made known to them and it is put within them. Oh, and I love further on in that. He said, and thy time was the time of love. Oh, there's every, that's the way it is with everyone. Oh, but I want to look in how the Lord uses that spirit that He puts within us. You know, in Hebrews 8, He says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my laws in their mind and write them into their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not go about every man his neighbor saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. There is a degree of knowledge of the Lord that every child of God has the world over, whether they've ever been in an old Baptist church or Christian church or anything. If the Lord has loved them and put His covenant within them, He is His.
That's right.
And they, they are His and He is theirs. Ah, but He uses that. He said in this verse 8, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I tell you, I believe there's a people. It's referred to in Romans as a remnant. Who He uses that spirit. Oh, in Romans 8, He tells us that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. What good news is that? I tell you, that is the good news. When, if you've ever in your life heard the preaching of the gospel, and I'm not talking about here at all, for the kingdom of heaven is not in word, but in power. Whenever it comes down, oh, like the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, Jesus told them that I will send the Comforter. Oh, I will go away and I will send the Comforter. Oh, and you, in Acts 1, He says, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I think in the second chapter of Acts, that happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, it says, there came like a rushing wind through the house. You want to talk about noise, brother? Oh, well, no, we don't see that now. But there's times in our life when we feel the gospel preached. You feel it. If happily you might feel after Him. Oh, He is near us all. He's in us. He's put it in us. His Spirit in us. Oh, and then He sends it. What does He say in Romans 1? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. I tell you, God saved the people, the world over, out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and people. But there's a people whom by His grace He reveals it to. We can see Him, Brother Ricky. We can put, like Moses said, oh, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. God said, no man can see my face and live, but there is a place. There is a place. And He put him on a rock in the cleft of the rock. He was surrounded by the rock. Jesus Christ. There is a place by me. and I will pass by and remove my hand, and thou shalt see my hindrance. I tell you, he showed him all he could show, all he could handle in this life, in these mortal bodies. Oh, we want to see more and more. May we grow every day in understanding. May he bless us with his Spirit. Oh, but there's so much we can handle in this earthen tabernacle.
Right.
Oh, but I thank my God for those times when he shows us his glory. When his Spirit fills the temple. It's special. It bears witness. That's a great message. That's the message. That is the great theological question. How do we become children of God? His Spirit, when you know, you might be in the deepest valley of your life right now. I don't know everyone's situation. It's life. We go up and down. But I tell you, I want to remind you, when you find yourself in the low spots, when you feel the sin of this world weighing down on you, and you think, there's no way that a just, righteous God could love one such as I want you to go back. I want you to survey. I want you to look back through your life and see the goodness he has put in your life. And go back to a time, although I feel alienated now, I remember there was a time when I was in his house and the Spirit filled the place and I felt him. I happily felt after him. Oh, and the gospel was preached to me. That right there tells you, you are his. And if his heirs, join heirs with Christ. What is Christ is yours. You're not split. It's join heirs.
Right.
His Spirit, it guides us day by day. May we listen. It guides. I know I shouldn't talk about myself too much. But I want to share my experience with you. Just to give you a glimpse. Ever since I started this journey, I have just been amazed to see the Lord's Spirit working in his kingdom. If it be, let's look at Peter for a minute. Oh, Peter, he wasn't going to preach to a Gentile. But he was, I'm giving you my words, brother, just in case you didn't know, in case I start sounding King James. These are my words. I don't think that's a word. But Peter goes up on the house, and in a trance, and he sees a curtain come down with all manners of beasts, and a voice from heaven saying, "Peter, rise, slay, and eat." Not so, Lord. That's never a good answer. That's never a good answer. For I have not eaten anything common or unclean. Call thou not what God hath cleansed common. He's showing Peter something now. The Spirit of the Lord is preparing him. And at the same time, the Spirit of the Lord is working on the other end with a man named Cornelius, who was... I always get the Ethiopian eunuch and Cornelius. whose alms and stuff had come up before God as a memorial, who was doing good works. And the Spirit inspired Cornelius, it's not just this preacher here, to call for a man named Simon who's living. Well, the Spirit gets specific. I remember Brother Walter saying, he gave him the address. He's lodging with one Simon called Tanner. He said, go and call for him. I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord works in His kingdom. He works with the preachers. Oh, he better.
Yeah.
We better be following after the leadership of the Spirit. Oh, but it does not stop with the preacher. He works in every one of our lives. He's not far from any of us. I tell you, may our prayer be, Lord, Thy will be done. What would You have me to do? Show me, guide me with Thy Spirit what You would have me to do. Oh, there's Isaiah 30. Let's go there real quick. Isaiah 30, 21, and 9, ears shall hear a word behind me, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. This is the way, walk ye in it. I tell you, the Lord guides us. His Spirit is in us, and He uses it. May we keep our fields plowed. I could go. Brother David said I got 30 minutes. 35 is Pentecostal. I don't think it's Pentecostal. So I'm going to wrap it up. But His Spirit. Oh, I could go to Matthew 13. The parable of the sower. Four people received seed there. And let me tell you, all four were children of God. All four was there when the word was preached. Received the word. And this isn't a one time. I used to think it's one time deal, but it happens. All through. We find ourselves in different stages of this throughout our life. Some seed fell by the wayside. And the wicked one came and took it before could sprout. They lacked understanding. Some seed fell in the stony places. Oh, where they came up, they heard the word and anon with joy received it. Have you seen those? Have you been yoked up with those? Oh, I tell you, they're zealous. But when persecutions or tribulations come because of the word, they are offended. Some seed fell among the thorns and the thorny ones. The deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world choked out the seed. It sprouted. It came up. Oh, but other cares. Oh, we live in a time where there's more distractions now than ever. It's just easy. There's so much other stuff we could do.
Yeah, that's right.
But some fell on the good ground. They yielded. Some 30, some 60, some 100. May His Spirit guide us. May we keep our field plowed. Keep the rocks and the weeds out. God has not called you to be happy. He's called you to be faithful and fruitful in His kingdom. But I'll tell you what. If you are faithful and fruitful in His kingdom, you'll have better than happiness. You'll have joy.
Amen.
I think of those who've gone before me who have walked in these paths, who have followed the Spirit of the Lord before me, who have trod the footsteps of the flock. Found in Songs of Solomon. Those whom in Hebrews 11 obtained a good report, and then in Hebrews 12, whereby we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. By the grace of God, here we come. here we are in His service in His church. There is a spirit in man. And I thank God. He doesn't have to do that.
Right.
He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to say this, but He did. Well, He did. His honor is engaged to save the meanest of His sheep. But He could have stopped there. But He blesses us with His Spirit in this life. And He guides us that we may serve Him. And in doing so, I tell you, it is a joy to serve the Lord. My prayer for everyone in this room is that if you're not residing in the presence of God in heaven next year, you're in a congregation worshiping Him. We've lost too many. Gird up. Gird thy loins up, Christian soldier. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? It is not in vain. The service to our Lord, it's not in vain. He is pleased. Amen. And He has given us His Spirit. But there is a Spirit in man. Come.
Turn to number 30.